This morning we're going to take a detour and we are going to look at the topic of evangelism in a sense. But we are going to look at the Great Commission and we are going to look at what we as a body are doing. And it's not going to be a step-by-step kind of training session. I'd like to encourage you guys because this is something that we're working towards as a body. Let me just start with this. When Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." Lord and Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. Lord, touch our silent lips. Lord, use us. Lord, grow us that we might, Lord, that we might boldly proclaim your name among the nations. Lord, I just thank you for this body that you've placed here and these brothers and sisters that you've placed here. I just pray that you would grow us, that you would conform us into your image. Lord, that we would truly be Christ followers. Lord, that we would follow after you. That we would be happy to lay down our lives for you, O Lord, because you gave your life for ours. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. Okay, so this church, there's a lot of things that we're good at, and me and Jeff will talk about this, and it's really exciting to look at what the Lord has done here. One of the things that we're great at fellowshipping with each other. We're great at serving one another. We're great at loving each other. One of the areas that we see needs work is that of reaching out into our community. And it's not that nobody's doing that, but it's something that we could improve in within our body, is getting out into our community with the gospel and serving those people that God has placed us in the midst of. And it's not just something that our church needs to do. I know we have a lot of visitors here this morning. But this is something as Christians that we need to grow in. It seems to be the area that most of us as Christians need to grow in. Right? It's that place of discomfort. It's that place that we are so excited when somebody else does it, but sometimes it's hard to get out and do it ourselves. But so that's what I want to talk about this morning. I got 2 points. One, I want to look at why we should evangelize. And the two, I want to encourage you and show you that it's not all left on us. It's not all left on our own will, but that it's God working through us. So why should we evangelize? The best answer is that Jesus commands us to do it. That's the best answer. Right? In that Great Commission. He commands us to go into the world. He commands us to take His gospel to the nations. He commands us to teach them to obey what He's commanded us. Right? That's why He's left His church on this earth, to take His gospel to the nations so that His kingdom will be advanced, that His elect will be saved. That's exciting. That's why He left us here. That's why He saved us, so that He could be glorified in the salvation of everybody else who doesn't deserve it either. That's why He's left us here. In Matthew 5, He tells His disciples that they are the salt of the earth, that they are the light of the world. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." See, God has placed us here as salt. God has placed us here as light. Not to be trampled under feet, not to be put underneath a basket, but to be that light of the world. You know, and sometimes we get so focused on good works. I was reading an article that Sproul wrote about the difference in witnessing and evangelizing, and some people will just use them as the same term, and some people like to separate them. But he made a good point, is what I would like to share. The way that he uses the word witness is that we are witnesses, right? People know who we were before we were Christians. That's why a lot of times they look at us and they think we're crazy. But that is being a witness, testifying of Christ. People see the change that God has worked in us. When we love each other, that is testifying, that is a witness of what God has done. We have so many different people in here that would never hang out otherwise, but Christ has united us. And that's a glorious thing. But evangelizing, that word coming from, I think he translated literally gospeling, right? It comes from the Evangelia. It's gospeling. But taking that good news of what has changed us, right? It's easy to see that there is a change from the outside. Sometimes people on the outside think it may be for the worse. But there is a change. But that change, those good works, that love for one another, that's not the gospel that saves them. That does testify of what Christ has done. But it's the message of what Christ has done. That's the gospel part. That's the evangelizing part. And we're to do both. Right? We have to let that light shine. I mean, people will say, why is that guy so weird? But it's not going to save them. Right? The sparkly look in our eyes or how nice we are, that's not going to save people. But the gospel saves, and that's exciting. The second reason is that there is work to be done. A lot of times we lose sight of this, that there is work to be done. Christ told his disciples that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest and to send out laborers into the harvest. See, we are those laborers that God has planted right here in these fields that are ready for harvest. You know, a lot of times in the culture that we live in, everybody's churched. Right? We say, well, we don't really need to share the gospel here because everybody's already a Christian. But that's so far from the truth. There's so many people so bound in legalism or liberalism, any side of the train you want to be caught on, but they don't understand God's grace. They don't understand the gospel. They don't understand why Christ had to die, why the Lord of glory had to be nailed to a cross. They don't understand that. They either see it as, well, this means I can do whatever I want. I just say I believe, I'm good. Not the gospel. Or they're on the other side and say, well, I just need to keep this list of rules. Not the gospel, right? The gospel is that none of us deserve grace. The gospel is that all of us have fallen short. That's not an excuse. That's not like a curve grading system where everybody's fallen short, so whoever kind of peaks out at the highest. That's not how it works. It's simply saying all of us have fallen short. Every one of us deserve judgment. But God, we see that throughout the Bible, but God, right? That's the grace. Christ came, He kept the law that we've broken. And then He gave Himself over to be crucified by His people, by His creation, nailed to a piece of His creation, that He could bear the wrath of God on our behalf. But that's the good news that we take them, because He did bear that wrath. And then He rose from the dead. He conquered death, His victory over sin. And now all those that are in Him have life in Him. As we are dead with Him, we shall live with Him, we will reign with Him forever. That's the good news that we take. That's the freedom that we have in Christ. That no, we're no longer in bondage to our sin. Right? No, we're no longer slaves to sin, but we're free, we're slaves to righteousness. That's the beautiful gospel that we get to take to the world. The third reason that why we should, it's because people can't be saved without hearing or receiving the gospel. Right? We can do a lot of good work. We can do a lot of good humanitarian work. And we shouldn't knock it. That those are good things. There's a lot of people that go and build houses and do wells or go out into the communities and give water and food and all the, those are good things. Like, we shouldn't look down on those things. But it is not sharing the gospel with those people by being nice to them. Right, non-believers can also do that. And by God's common grace, they do. By God's grace, there's a lot of non-believers that do a lot of good things for the social welfare of the world. But it does nothing for their eternity. You know, sometimes we try to separate it so much that we almost look down on doing good humanitarian, you know, social things. Well, we shouldn't. But what we want to understand is that a person's eternity is more important than the temporal life here. We just never want to get rid of one and say, well, we don't want to be the people saying, eat and be filled, and then do nothing. right? We don't want to hope that someone's warm and then send them out in the cold without a blanket, without a coat, right? We want what we believe. We want the gospel to be going forth, but we also want to care for that person's needs here, because we got to live here. People need to be taken care of. But the gospel must be presented, because the gospel is the means by which God has chosen to save His people. Right? In Romans 10, it says, "How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." See, faith is bestowed or given to us by hearing His word. It's through His word and through His gospel that He works salvation in people. Right? Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because the gospel was the power of God unto salvation for all men, right? The Jew first, and to the Greek also. Right? That gospel that we take, that's the power of God. But so many times our evangelism efforts leave the gospel out of them. Or maybe not ours, maybe not everybody's, but typically the modern church, they take a gospel that has no gospel. They take part of an evangelism program reaching into the communities, and the gospel's not there. You know, and that's not where we want to be. That's not what we want to do. We want the gospel. We want Christ to be centered in everything that we do. Whether it be we feed people, or we clothe people, or we whatever it is that we do, the gospel is the reason for that. We're not trying to buy them into the church, right? We're not trying to get people to say, "Man, look how nice those people are. I think I want to go hang out with them." We want to give them the gospel that God might convert them, that He might give them a new heart, that He might give them a new nature, that He might be glorified in their salvation. And that's what we want to do in this body, right? We're commanded to do it. There's work to be done. And people need to hear the gospel. Now let's go do it. No, I'm just kidding. All right. So that is why we need to do it. That's why we need to do it as a body, right? We need to individually go out and share the gospel. Like, the topic of evangelism can be so touchy. People have so many different things in their mind of what that is. But there's so many ways that we can take the gospel out. And there's so many ways that we can take it individually and as a body. And I don't want to get too stuck on that topic, but we will go and have a training meeting. We will go through a lot of that stuff, because evangelism can look like so many different things. It could be us as a body going door to door. It could be us as a body going down to the park or to the festival and handing out gospel tracts, or preaching in the open air, or talking with people one-on-one. But that same evangelism also happens in our individual daily lives, right? We rub lives with so many people. And each one of us rub lives with so many different people that other people may never meet. Right? We're placed in different workplaces. We're placed in different families. We're placed in different social circles. But that's all a different opportunity for us to take the gospel of Christ to them. Remember, God is sovereign. He has placed us where we have placed us for a purpose that He has not revealed all the time. Right? We don't know where we're at, but we know that God has placed us there on purpose, and that's a comforting thought, especially whenever we don't want to be there. Right? Sometimes in our work environments, it just drags us down. But God has placed us there with a purpose. And our purpose is to glorify Him in whatever means that He's provided us. But this is something that we want to do as a body. We want to bring the body together, and we want to go into our community with that gospel. But what I would like to see this morning, or what I'd like you guys to see this morning, is that it's not just in, hey, we just need to learn this script. It's not, hey, this is the perfect plan to evangelism. Right? Our goal is not to go out and try to grow a megachurch. That's never the goal for this church. Right? The goal is to glorify God, first and foremost. But then to take His gospel to the ends of the earth, that God might do whatever it is that He wills. Right? But there's comfort in the Scriptures. And that's what I want to say. I want you to leave here encouraged. Right? I don't want you to leave here fearful that, man, we gotta go do this uncomfortable thing. I really don't want to. I want you to see that it's not us. It's all about Him. But so the first encouraging truth about evangelism is that success is guaranteed. Okay, the success of our evangelism is guaranteed. See, a lot of people that use different pragmatic, you know, the end is more important than the means, that kind of ideology, right? But whenever we're counting numbers, whenever we're using, well, does our church grow? If it doesn't, then we're not doing, it's not working. We haven't done anything. Right? What we use to determine what is successful and what is not successful, that's important to, well, it's important to how this church operates. But the thing is it's not based upon the numbers. It's not based on the number of people that we can get to pray with us or make a decision. If we want people to just pray with us and make decisions, we can all take a sales course and we can do it. Because that's what you're doing when you're just trying to get decisions. That's what you're trying to do when you're just trying to get people to pray. You can manipulate the mind to get someone to agree with you, or you just irritate them enough that they'll say, okay, I'll make a decision, I'll pray with you, please go away. But that's not what we're trying to do. The success is guaranteed because God is sovereign. In John 10 it says, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd." Right? As he's talking, they will listen. They will hear my voice. When we go with his word, that is his voice speaking to his people. They will listen. He says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." So we have this promise that He will draw His people unto Himself. When we take His word out, when we share His gospel, all that He has deemed His, they're coming. Whether you stumble over your words, whether you talk goofy, no matter what, His people will come to Him, and He has promised that. In Isaiah 55, it says, "So shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." When His word goes out, it accomplishes what He has willed it to do. When He said, "Let there be light," there was light. Right? He did everything with the word of His mouth. And His word is what we take to the nations. You know, that's a beautiful thing. We get so stuck on. We had a good conversation the other night about apologetics. Right? People get real wrapped up in apologetics, and apologetics are important. You know, there's good stuff there. But the thing is that a lot of times we get this idea that we've got to have this bulletproof argument that is going to convince someone that you are right and they are wrong, and then I guess we're expecting that, oh, you're right, I'll follow Christ. Not how it works. Not how it works. I have a good friend who was sharing a story about a guy who was preaching on a college campus, and he was a presuppositional guy, but there was a girl there, she seemed earnest. She said, "If you can prove to me that the resurrection really happened, then I'll believe." And he's a very smart guy. Normally doesn't debate with evidences, but he knows them all. So he gave all these evidences and went down the list. And then afterwards, you know what the girl said to him? She said, "You convinced me He raised from the dead, but you didn't convince me He was God." Right? That's not what we're trying to do. What we're taking is His word, because it is what has the power to change them. The Holy Spirit works through that word and applies it to that heart. And that's the beautiful thing, because it's not how smart we are. And a lot of times that's what we think it is. How well we can handle an argument. But as the more we share, you know what you're going to find out? You don't know the answers. You don't know all the answers. And you probably will never know all the answers. Somebody's smarter than you. But there's no shame in that, because it's not about how smart you are or how smart they are. It's about God's Word working in them. It's about God doing that which He wills. And that's such a comfort to us, because we can go out, we can go spend a day at a festival, and we can hand out tracts, and we can talk to all these people, and it can seem as though nobody made any sort of profession. It seems like we got nowhere, but we can leave rejoicing that God's Word went forth, and it will do that which He intends it to accomplish. Either He will convert them or He won't. But praise God that you were faithful, that you went and you took His Word. See, that's what the encouraging, the comforting part is that He's giving us the mission not to save people, but to take His Word and go with it. John MacArthur was preaching a series on missionaries. And he's saying that a missionary is like a waiter. All his job isn't to cook the food. His job isn't to prepare the perfect little table setting. His job is to take it from the chef to the table without screwing anything up. And that's our job. He's given us the message. We take it. We don't change it. We don't make it more palatable. We take it with love. We take it with gentleness. We take it with truth. And sometimes by this world that may be deemed harsh. But we take that gospel out of love. We take that gospel out of we care for those people that are perishing. Even if they don't care. Right? And that love comes not because we're such loving and caring people, but because God has put that within us. So that's my second point. The first one being that success is guaranteed. The second one being that the message is provided for us. We don't got to come up with something new. We don't got to come up with the perfect script. We don't got to come up with the perfect argument. We're taking the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. It says, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." That's the gospel that we take. That Christ died, that He rose again. Right? But we don't just simply go and say, "Hey, Christ died and Christ rose again." Right? We explain that. Why did Christ have to die? Why is it so important that He raised from the dead? You know, we want people to see their sin. You know, we live in a culture where everybody thinks they're good people, and because they're good people, they're going to heaven. Right? When the rich young ruler came to Christ, saying, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Right? Jesus said, keep the commandments. And then He names off the ladder table. He says, I've done that. Which He's either deluded or lying, one or the other, because He didn't. But the point was, is Jesus said, keep the commandments. Be perfect. You earn your way to heaven. But when He said He kept them all, Jesus said, well, go and sell everything you have and come and follow Me. And He left grieved. Because He was rich, He had everything in the world, but He had nothing. Christ gave Him nothing. Right? But we can't just, I mean, grace is free. Salvation is free. But unless we see our sin, we will never have that grace. If we continue thinking, I'm good, I deserve heaven, grace isn't for you. Grace is, God is not obligated to show grace to us. We do not deserve grace. It goes against the definition of the word. Grace is something we do not deserve. So as long as we are in the camp where we think we deserve it, we think we deserve heaven, we think we are great and wonderful people, we disagree with God about who we are. But when we see that we're sinners, that we're depraved, that everything we have to offer is filthy rags, that's a hard one to take in, right, from Isaiah. It's all of our righteousnesses, all of the good things that we have to offer God are filthy rags. But when we can see why And we can see how tainted we are by sin at the very depth of who we are. And then see that Christ has died for that. That's when we see how great His grace is. Right? That's when we cry out for repentance. It's when He gives us that new heart. When we see that we aren't deserving. And that's the message that we want to take. See, there's no... maybe everybody else isn't this way, but I know when I first started even considering the thought of evangelism, I would rather have something that I know exactly what I want to say. Right? Sometimes we like scripts. We like those things. Because then we can be like, well, I said the right thing. But over the years, as going to different places and different countries and talking with different people and different cultures, it's all about what's already there. It's all about talking with a person and actually listening to what they have to say. See, that's the tendency. We're so nervous and caught up in what we're saying, we miss what they're saying. I mean, it's a real conversation. They're real people. And they're really headed for hell, but by the grace of God. But we want to talk with these people. And yes, they need to see their sin. They need to see the majesty of God and how great He is and how deserving He is and why it is that we must turn and follow Christ. What it is that Christ has done. And that may come out of my mouth differently than it comes out of your mouth. It may be a completely different conversation, but it's with a different person. And God has placed each individual there to say whatever it is that they say. See, whenever we walk away from a conversation, a lot of times we feel like, man, I should have said this, I should have said that. But you said exactly what God had willed you to say in that given time. Praise God. You know, and it may be a time that He taught you something, you may learn something from it. But we should never walk away feeling like we failed. Because God has placed us there. God has willed that whatever happened, happened. See, the other part of that message is provided for us is that Christ is the only way. Right? We don't have multiple paths and multiple answers. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Right? We are pointing everybody to one person. We are pointing them to Christ. Because He is God, the Son. He is the Savior. He is Lord. That's who we're pointing them to. And we live in a culture that everybody's right. If everybody's right, everybody's wrong. No religions are compatible with everybody's right unless you just make it up. Right? The Muslims don't think everybody's right. The Jews don't think everybody's right. The Buddhists don't think everybody's right. Nobody thinks everybody's right. Nobody wants to take a stand for truth. Jesus is the truth. There's one God that's created every single one of us, that every single one of us is accountable to. And that's who we're professing, the true and living God, Christ our Savior. You know, and we don't want to argue and belittle people. See, and that's the hardest thing. It seems like we find that we have our own pride when talking with other people. Too many times we care more about being right than being loving or being gentle. Right? Especially with someone who really stands in their faith. Talk with a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon or a Muslim who practices their faith. They will cling to that faith and they will argue with you. And then at some point, your pride will try to kick in and you want to win that argument. You want to show them how wrong they are. But you forgot the whole point there was you want them to know Christ. You want them to know the graciousness of God that He's shown us through this good news that we are taking to them. That though they hate us, who cares? They may hate us, but we should still love them. Enough to share that gospel with them. And to not shy away from the truth of that gospel. Right? Sometimes we want to shy away just so that we can kind of find a common ground or agree. And it's a hard thing to learn to do, but by God's grace, right? It's not in our own abilities, but by God's grace, we can love that person and be gentle with that person, remain humble in that conversation without ever compromising the truth. Without ever watering down the truth of the gospel. We're there to share His message and not ours. I don't know if any of you have heard some evangelism programs teach more of a way to share your testimony than the way to share the gospel. And we talk about this a little bit. Sharing your testimony, what God has done in your life, that is a good thing to do. It is a visible representation of the visible happening. Right? We do that with communion, which we'll do today. It is a visible representation of what Christ has done. It is a visible representation of the gospel. Right? So when we share our testimonies, and some of us have what we see as more exciting testimonies than others, more radical testimonies than others. You know, everybody wants to hear about the guy who was living on the street, who was strung out on heroin, who almost died 8 times, and then God miraculously saved him, and now he's a missionary. That's awesome. And there's a lot of people like that. But every single conversion is miraculous and radical and amazing. I had a good friend, and he always thought that he didn't have a great and amazing testimony. You know, he never got into drugs or sexual immorality or any of these crazy things. And he just thought his testimony wasn't near as exciting. We forget what God is doing. He is taking something that is dead and making it alive. Right? There is no boring testimony. It is amazing what God is doing in someone when He converts them, when He saves them. And there's nothing wrong with sharing that. It makes us relate to people, right? There's a lot of times when we can look at someone and say, I was exactly where you are. But by the grace of God, I would still be there. So don't shy away from sharing your testimony. But don't let it replace sharing the gospel. Right? How did that happen? Well, this is what Christ did. Always point to Christ. Not just the physical or the work that He's done in us, but the work that He's done for all of His people. We want to be able to explain that. My third point is that we were given the Holy Spirit for this purpose. Right? We're not relying on our own intellect. Praise God. We're not relying on our own will or discipline or determination. We are relying upon the Holy Spirit. Right? The disciples were told to go and wait for the Spirit to come upon them, right? He'll give them power and they'll be witnesses. But you were filled with that same Holy Spirit when you were converted. It is God who is working in you, that is growing you, that is sanctifying you, that is conforming you into His image, and that gives you the power to go into this world and share His gospel. It is God who is doing that in you. Most of the people I know that open air preach full time, it's really fun. God's funny, I guess, in the way He works. Most of them are the most introverted, quiet, shy, meek men you will ever meet. They would be perfectly happy if they were locked in a room with a bunch of books and never had to talk with anybody. And then God takes these men and puts them on boxes in the middle of cities and streets in different countries. And when they preach, they're as bold as lions. God does that. That has nothing in them. Jeff is an introverted person. Would be happy, locked in the room, sitting on the beach, book. But God has chosen to take him and place him here. I would be happy living 100 miles from the closest person on a ranch in the middle of nowhere. But God in His sovereignty has decided that's not what He wants me to do. Right? We have to understand that it's not us. Right? It's not our strength. It's not always our likes and our desires. It's what God has chosen for us. And part of that growing is that submission to Him. Jeff's told you. Jeff tried to run. He ain't going to get away, though. Where are you going to go? Ask Jonah. Where are you going to go? You ain't going nowhere. Right? But it is God who works in us for His purpose, to advance His kingdom. And the sooner that we learn that, right? Because a lot of times we just say, I can't do that. And we are all gifted in different ways. Don't confuse. I'm not telling everybody that their job is to. Everybody's got to go out and preach from a box. There's a lot of people that shouldn't. Right? Everybody's job is not to go, you know, spend time on the streets every single day. God has made us for different purposes. Right? But God has left us here for the furtherance of His gospel. You know, and when we do this church outreach, you know, there are people that are going to stay and pray. Right? Prayer is important as well. It's part of that gospel going forth. Right? Everybody has a role in this. I just don't want anybody to have the attitude that, I can't do that. I'm just not going to have any part in it. Right? We're all part of this. We're one body. We're unified in Christ, working together for the furtherance of His gospel, for the glory of His name. And praise God for that. You know, there's a lot of times when we think we're not called to something, and later on you find out you are. And the only way to find that out is by conquering our own fears, putting our trust in Christ and His strength, and just going forth and doing it. My fourth and my last point on this, the encouraging truths, is that evangelism will grow you. Right? The more people you talk to, the more questions you're going to be asked, the more you're going to find out, I don't know the answer to that. And there's nothing wrong with that. Right? A lot of times we want to be fully equipped and have all the answers before we go. And if that's the case, you'll never go. Because you'll never have all the answers. Right? But we will grow through that, because every time we get asked a question that we don't know, what do we want to do? We want to know what the answer is. The next time you may have the answer for that question. You know, next time you'll be able to, you'll know what to say when someone responds in a certain way. The thing you have to watch out for is that sometimes, well, you'll end up hearing a lot of the same questions over and over. And a problem that I found myself in at one point was that a lot of times I would dismiss it. You know, because I had heard 150 people say the same question, I would answer their question before they'd ever got out of their mouth. And then they would feel as though I wasn't listening to them. Right? It's important to listen. But the thing is that God grows us through that. God, He blesses that faithfulness. You know, He sometimes will give us a peace when we're doing it. And sometimes He doesn't when we push through it. But the thing is that it's Him working in us. It's Him growing us. In Philemon, verse 6, it says, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Right? That as we go and we share, that God is growing us. He's completing His work. That's part of that sanctification process. That's part of conforming us into the image of Christ. Right? Christ took the gospel of His kingdom, the good news of His kingdom, everywhere He went. To everybody, right? To the woman at the well that nobody wanted to talk to, that nobody should have talked to culturally. Right? There's many people that we will run into, that we will talk to, that no one else ever will. And God has placed you there for that purpose. And God will grow you through that, whether you like talking to people or not. You know? And that's so exciting. It's exciting to see God work like that. I was reading another article that was talking about, the final question, I think Sproul wrote it. The final question was, how many non-Christians do you know? You know, and we'll understand, we'll never have the same relationship with a non-Christian as we do with a believer. Because as believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we have union together. We have something that no one else can experience. But that doesn't mean that we should become Amish and move into a commune and separate ourselves from the world that we're to be reaching. Right? There are people that we're going to know that are non-believers, our neighbors. You know, sometimes we do seclude ourselves away from that. And we want to glorify Christ. We don't want to be of the world, right? But we want to reach them. We don't want to distance ourselves so far away from it that we have no contact with it. If we have no contact with it, how are we going to take that gospel? How is His word going to go forth among all the nations if we all just try to run away from it and hide in our own little huddles? What do they call it, a holy huddle? Right? We want to pray that God would give us those opportunities, or that we would see those opportunities that a lot of times we just look right past. You know, a lot of times we're in such a hurry with whatever we're doing that we never stop and take the time when the opportunity is there. But just pray that God would open our eyes to those opportunities and allow us to take those opportunities that we might glorify His name. So what I want you to see in this is that Christ has commanded us. There is work to be done. But I want you to see His command as a joyous commission that He's given us. Not as a burdensome commission. Not as something, oh man, we have to do it. But that we're joyful that Christ has given His life and saved us that we could go and take His gospel. That He has placed us in this small body in Swansboro, North Carolina, or whatever church body that you come from if you're visiting here. But He has placed you there that you can go from there and share the gospel. Right? They started in Jerusalem and they went out. You know what the exciting thing about that is? Right? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, all the ends of the earth. We're proof that that happened because we're nowhere near Jerusalem. We are proof that that happened, and that's the same thing we want to do. We want to go into this community. We want to go into our state. We want to continually be taking that gospel. And if the Lord chooses to send some of us somewhere else, then so be it. Praise God. But that is our purpose, to take His gospel both individually and as a church. But I want you to see that though He's commanded it, that He is the one who is working in us to complete it. That it's not all about what we can do. He's gifted us differently so that we can come together and that we can work in different ways and that He can complete His will through it. But don't be so focused on what you feel you can do, right? On what you think you can do. But be focused on what God has empowered us to do as His people. Let's pray.